Well, good morning, correspondent Dean Brown. What's going on?
Good morning, good morning. I'm calling from the major metropolis of Warren, by the way.
Okay.
I don't know what the population here is.
Well, it seems like if you included the prison, it's a fair bit of a population then.
Yeah, we got 1,000 here.
Yeah.
Too bad we don't have voting rights in the town of Warren. We can only vote for the towns in which we lived prior to incarceration. So luckily I got to vote against that damn paper bag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it worked, and it has just blown the minds of the city government there. They don't know what to do except try to punish the people somehow.
I voted for Dan Davey, too, but that didn't work.
No.
That blew my mind.
Yeah, well, that strip search stuff just bothered too many people, I guess, you know.
Hey, some people like it.
Yeah, well.
I'll tell you from experience, you get some of them around here.
Yeah,
holy cow.
Jeez. Well, you know, that was interesting, that, you know, that court case.
Yes.
You know, and I couldn't do anything. I wish they'd let you bring a camera or record it, and you can't. So
yes.
All I did was just drew a couple of sketches.
I just found out Thursday about Mike James being found not guilty by reason of insanity or criminal mental defect.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God and Joe Steinberger for that.
So what becomes of him now then?
Hopefully he'll go to Riverview, the state hospital. If he misbehaves while he's there or becomes so problematic that they can't control him, they'll probably end up right back here. But I think his chances for success are pretty good, because the torment that he has to deal with here from certain staff, he won't have to deal with there, hopefully. I don't know. I can't speak for what it's like there. I'm not indicting all the staff here either. I don't want to give that impression. There are a number of
right.
them that, you know, that are the minority who are just, you know, beyond reckless. They're criminal.
But how about the chaps that were basically moving you in and out of that courtroom there?
There were two sergeants. There might have been three, but. Mm-hmm. Two sergeants. One of them, there, the tall, bald one, was the corrupt one. I've personally witnessed him beat prisoners that were handcuffed. I got a few friends that, well, actually, the Bangor Daily News even commented on it once. There was an investigation. Just they couldn't write me up for lying, because the story I gave matched the story that the prisoner who was assaulted gave, and we never had an opportunity to compare stories. So, and this was right before they made him sergeant. It was the summer this place opened.
Oh, so they gave him a promotion then?
Yeah. Well, they put the kid. He was a mental patient. You know, always handcuffed. 20 years ago, I'd have just grabbed a weapon and rolled in on him to stop him. But I've kind of calmed down quite a bit over the years.
Mm.
But that kind of, you know, that behavior is just unconscionable. I mean, the sergeant at the time that was involved in the incident picked up his clipboard and held it in front of his face and came out, because I was pounding on his office window and told him, get in there and break it up or I'm going in. He came running out and locked the door, but he held that clipboard up so he could legally say he didn't see what was going on. But he knew what was going
on. Is that right?
You could hear the thud. You could hear the impact of a man's fist in the inmate's chest. You know, and the inmate crying. It's unconscionable. I'd love to be able to take a polygraph to some of this stuff. There's a lot of inmates in here have witnessed a lot of corruption and abuse like that. And it's like, it doesn't matter. It falls on deaf ears. That's like that lady that was just talking.
Right. She figures just close down city government's about the only way to deal with things.
Well, you get these people in positions of power, and their attitude quickly becomes just shut up and pay your taxes. It's our money, not yours, you know? It's like these people here getting money to deal with prison gangs. We don't have any prison gangs, but they'll take the money, thank you very much.
Huh.
You know? Give somebody a fancy title, let them watch a few videos, and maybe even teach a course. You know? Why don't they learn how to do origami or something and come in here and show some people something they can teach their children, you know?
Right. And now, so how's, a couple of things you've mentioned before, where there are some educational facilities that were not being made available to prisoners, like the computer room. Is that still the case?
Yes. In fact, Mark's letter there mentioned the orientation. The same questions were asked in my pod that his pod asked, and we got the same line of crap, you know. We order something, say a guitar from somebody, and they mark it up. And then he said, well, some of that money is used for shipping and handling. Well, listen, if I buy a guitar from, say, Northern Kingdom, which I can, I got to go through their vendor, they got a deal with. They'll get a deal on some CDs or something, for instance, right?
Right.
And they'll wait until they have, like, 20 people or so, or however many, that all put in an order at the same time. And then the prison buys that stuff from the company. Now, the prison's going to get a cutback because, say, they're buying $1,000 worth of CDs for $700, $800, $900, whatever they'd get for a deal.
Right.
We're still paying the price that is in the book plus the 20% markup and sales tax. So they're making us wait until they have a big enough order where they're going to benefit by getting a discount for dealing with them and not somebody else. They'll seek out some kind of agreement, you know, hey, look, we'll buy our TVs from only you. How much can you knock off the price per unit? You know, so they'll get maybe a 10 or 20% discount on merchandise, and we don't see those savings. We see the original consumer price in the catalog plus 20% taxed onto that, plus the state sales tax taxed onto that. And they say that it's shipping and handling. But see, the thing is, this stuff is all shipping and handling. It's already been paid for. So, and the prison ain't shipping it. And I sure as hell don't want them handling it. Stuff gets broke too easy as it is around here.
So where does that money go to then? You know, this 20% markup, for example.
Well, they say it goes into the IBF, which is the Inmate Benefit Fund. But it really benefits anybody that can coax a signature out of the proper authorities here, because they've used it to buy bullets and bulletproof vests. The money that they tax us on our telephone calls, the outrageous price that is, $1.80 for the first minute, and what is it, 25 cents, 40 cents for the each additional minute?
Something like that. It always freaks our manager out when they see the phone bill.
Yeah, it freaks me out, and I'm not even paying the damn thing. I mean, it's ludicrous that there are so many people in here with children out there that, you know, those children need to be in contact with their father. They're going to be in contact with their father when they leave, so they should be a little familiar with him, you know?
Right.
You can't leave it up to just the visiting room alone. That's crazy.
What do you think if they had, like, a video room where you could just sit there, you know, and at a table, just like a visiting table, and they put a camera at you, and you could talk to your kids?
The NAACP in here is working on that, a family ties program.
I think it's a good idea because, you know, they need to keep recognizing you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a letter. It's also a voice and a person with expressions. And they'll go, my gosh, you know, my brother looks just like Dad. You know, and so on.
It was good to see you in court last week, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know, I thought this was important to do there. I thought, yeah, you've been, you know, I've just been this disembodied voice all this time there.
Yeah.
The past year.
You too.
Yeah.
It was touching. The lady got me going there, the prosecutor. He didn't say anything about Officer Salmon like being an alien from Mars. And I was like, oh, geez, I don't want to make fun of them. The mentally ill, that's not right. But
right.
And they just, it's like, you know.
Well, it was interesting. First, you spoke just before the judge.
Right.
Who wanted to see what you had to say and what the prosecutor would say to that. And then he let the jury back in after cautioning Joe, you know, get this down to just yes or no's, not long discussions. And that's why you were pretty much told to do that. And you could tell what the scene was there, and you pretty much did that.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty sad. I mean, it could have gone either way. The conditions of the max breed the behavior that they're getting from this guy. And more than just that, the few guards in there that antagonize that kid and torment him, to get him going, just for the pleasure of watching him go off. And then sit there and say, I don't care if you run your head into the wall. I don't care. Go ahead. I want to watch. Go ahead. And stand there with their arms crossed and watch this kid smash his head trying to fit it through like a 5-inch wide food slot, tray slot. You know, this kid's got like 100 scars going from ear, well, not from ear to ear, but in the direction of ear to ear, mm-hmm. all along the top of his head from trying to run his head through that food slot. And the cop just stand there and laugh at him and say, go ahead, you almost got out, you almost got out. Come on, come on, do it again.
Well, that's so cruel.
It is cruel. I mean, when you stand there and you're talking to the guy, you know, and you seem like you're having his, I mean, he's not really educated. I'd say, you know, I'd guess he's borderline retarded. I'm not a clinician, so I really can't say, but
mm-hmm.
he would do the best he could to have an articulate conversation with you. I mean, you could be talking about something that he might like, and you know, fishing sometime, or telling you a story or whatever, and then just start crying. And next thing you know, he's got a handful of feces and just rubbing it right down his face while he stands there and cries. I mean, I don't know how you can articulate that to a jury and say, listen, this, you need to see this picture. It just, you know, we're just a yes or a no. And then that lady trying to, you know, the way she was saying it, you know, trying to make light of it, you know, like about him saying that he thought the guy was an alien or something. But it just, you know, you can't just pull a little piece like that out of somebody's psyche and make a judgment on the person. It's unconscionable.
Yep.
I heard you reading Mark's letter earlier. That was good.
Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and post it on the web there too, in the hopes that we can get it, you know, get some eyes up in the corrections, you know, and even the governor's office. Just email them. Hey, you know, find out what the prisoners are saying about how things are treated. You know,
I just sent a 5-page letter to the commissioner. I dated it the 12th.
Uh huh.
My personal struggle with them. We had an agreement with the deputy warden and I, Riley. I was going to get my job back. They were going to get toothbrushes back in the max. And they replaced my stereo that I lost. And I was willing to forget about all the other property that I lost that you can't get anymore. For one thing, I don't have the funds to get it for another. If there's another father's property from my old prison. But I agreed to start taking my medication, which I did, And shortly after, I started taking some meds, and my job in industries fell through. I was supposed to start at the 22nd of the last month, paperwork went in, and security, believe it or not, one of the two people who stopped me from, stopped my employment, were the same people that, put me in max in the first place. Twice, but it's quite an offense. I mean, I was going to my paperwork and I gave a letter from the warden himself receiving for Commissioner McNewson that, you know, I letter to him about the violation of policy in the case. And he said that records indicate he's been released from the Superman and put back in immediate custody. And it's further in the street that disciplinary discharges were discharged and dismissed. I trust that this answers your concerns. 4 days later, I'm back over on the same exact thing. Except this time they said, they found stuff in my cell that day and they gave me as an escape risk.
Oh, yes, and that sent you right back in.